Today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Samach Vav. Samach Vav, and just two notes. One is today's shiur is sponsored by the Michelson family, Zecher Nishmas, Rachel Tzipora Bas Mordechai. The Michelson family, friends of ours in Boston, sponsoring today's daf, Zecher Nishmas, Rachel Tzipora Bas Mordechai, and hope their sponsoring also inspires others. Feel free to get involved in the mitzvah of spreading Torah on Project Sinai through sponsoring a daf. One other note is that I blew it yesterday. I was thinking about it, then I blew it. Yesterday was Rav Meir Shapiro's yard site. And, you know, if there's any day to mention, it was yesterday, Zayin Cheshvan. I remember last year, that's the day that in Eretz Yisrael we start saying V'sein Talamatar. And obviously it's a connection between Geshem and Torah and Rav Meir Shapiro. But that was yesterday's yard site. And again, we always have to be Makar Tov to the one who gave us the idea of having this shiur 85 years ago or so already. And B'ez Hashem, all of the learning should be a schus for his neshama as well, but today's shiur has the specific sponsor as well, like I mentioned before. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. We are on Samach Hei Amabez. My throat's a little bit hoarse, but Bezrat Hashem, Siyata D'Shemayim. Tanu Rabbanan. So we spoke about yesterday, the next couple of lines, we're going to talk about Mikvaos. Baruch Hashem, we have this chus today that we're going to have a Mishnah in Mikvos. We are going to have a Mishnah in Shvius. We're going to have a Mishnah in Machshirin. We're going to get into all the Mishnayos that we don't have the chance to do in Daf Yomi, but that comes up today on Baba Basra Samach Vav. So says the Braisa, Tanur Abanan. It all starts here. Sinar Shechakako L'Basov Kavo. As we said yesterday, that from the Sefer Achinuch, the hashkafa behind a mikvah is, if you remember, that it was you're starting a new beginning, like the beginning of creation, water all over the place. And the halacha is that a mikvah is water, that rainwater that is now on the ground. If rainwater is collected in a kli of any kind, in a clay kibbutz, so then that's called mayim she'uvin. That's called drawn water, and that is pasul. Is that pasul d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? We'll get to later on today's daf. That's the major machlokas in Tosfos. Rashi, Tosfos, Rashbam comes up on today's daf, Samach Vav. But we'll just say, we'll assume now it's pasul. So if it's in a kli, it's gathered, then it is pasul. So the question is, what if you have a kli that you caught the rainwater in, or you have a kli, forget the rainwater, and then you put the kli into the ground? When does the kli lose its status of being a kli and then become part of the karka, and when not? That's why this Gemara is here, because as we're talking about, once a kli is put into a house, when does the kli become part of the house? So it's sold with the house, and when does it not? You might not have say it's exactly the same thing, as the Gemara is going to talk about. One more is umdina of what a person is thinking, while the other is formal status of what a kli is, but this is what the Gemara brings up. So Tanu Rabbanan, tsinar shechakako, if you have a pipe that one hollowed out. You hollowed it out into a pipe. Ula basov kavo. And then I put it into the ground. So it was a pipe, but then I put it into the ground. Post lasa mikvah. That passels the mikvah as the water travels through this pipe into my mikvah. It's passel because it's called mayim she'uvin. It was a kli before I positioned it into the ground. It does not lose that status, and therefore it passels the mikvah. Kivao ula basov chakako eino post lasa mikvah. But if first I put it into the ground and then I chiseled out and gave it a clay kibble, made it into the pipe, then it's not a problem. Because once I put it into the ground, it's in the ground, and now it's like I'm digging a hole in the ground. Digging a hole in the ground, and therefore, it's not a problem. So that's the Braisa. The Braisa has a distinction between if I chisel it out, if I make it into a pipe before or after. And the Gemara is going to ask, who is the author of this Mishnah? Mani, of this Braisa. Mani, lo Rebbe Laza, Rebbe Eliezer, v'lo Rabbanan. This Braisa does not seem to be like Rebbe Eliezer or the Rabbanan. But even before we get to that, just two or three points regarding this case of Sinar. Number one, Tosva says, in Sinar, Ikalu Ukme, what type of kli are we talking about here? Usually we think of a pipe as open on both sides, right? So water could go in one side and out the other side. If that's true, though, is that a real clay kibble if it's open on both sides? So Tosva says yes. You could come up with a case even if it's open on both sides. Ikalu Ukme, says Tosva, Afilu Beparutz. Afilu beparutz mishnei ruchos kederach hatzinor, even if it's open on two sides like a pipe, ukegon shechetato beemsa lekabel tsuroros. There are little bumps in the pipe. There are little blockages to catch the rocks. So that also is considered a clay kibble. As long as it's not smooth, so the water runs straight through, and you have areas, little rims to catch the pebbles inside, that's okay. To behind base kibble chashivi mayim shuvim sheover maloso base kibble. That's enough to consider it to be a base kibble. Number one. Number two, then Tosfos brings up a very important point. Towards the end of Tosfos, that very important halacha lamaisa, last four lines of Tosfos. Vidafka shemayim noflim mitzina lamikva. When do we say this whole thing is a problem of mayim shuvim? Again, water, rainwater that goes through or is caught by a kli with a receptacle. That's only if it won't go straight from the kli into the mikvah. That's when it's a problem. Aval im naflu mitzinar lekarka umikarka lemikvah. But if it first goes from the pipe to the ground and then it travels along the ground and then goes into the mikvah, that process is mitaher, purifies mayim she'uvin. That process is called hamshacha. Hamshacha hi ve'eno posel ha'mikvah im yish kvar b'mikvah chaf alef sa megishamim. Hamshacha pas kashers mayim she'uvin, even if it's drawn water halachically. If I drag it, if I go make it go onto the ground and then it goes into the mikvah, it's okay. As long as, what does Tosfos say? As long as there is already at least 21 sa'ah in the mikvah. Meaning a mikvah has to be minimum 40 sa'ah. So as long as there's rov mikvah water, so even if I have 19 past mayim she'uvin, it used to be mayim she'uvin, now hamshach is being used, so then that is kosher. Rashi, this is based on first a Mishnah in Meseches Mikvaos. The Mishnah says, mayim dalad dalad in Mikvaos, mayim she'uvin u'megishamim, somebody has mayim she'uvin or megishamim shenis arvu, that were mixed into each other, bechatzer, in a yard, meaning on the ground, uba'ukar, in a ditch, v'yal ma'alos ha'ma'ara, or on the steps leading down to the cave of the mikvah, right, all mikvahs, and those, all, you will go around Eretz Yisrael today, you see the mikvahs, they're all in caves, right, go to the, they're all, a lot of them in the old city, right, all the Kohanim had mikvahs in their houses, they needed mikvahs there, because it became tame all the time. So, if this process is done, imrov mina kosher, kosher, there it is, as long as my mikvah has 21 sa'ah of mayim she'uvim beforehand, then the process of hamshacha could kasher the mayim she'uvim, and it could go straight into the mikvah. V'im rov min apasel pasel. That's the Mishnah in Mikvos Dalad Dalad. Shitas Rashi, Rashi in Temura Daf Yudbeis, that's what Tosas quotes. Rashi even says that on a d'oraisa level, even all the mikvah water using this process can be kasher this way. If I have no water in the mikvah, and I take a whole 40 of mayim she'uvin, it's caught in a kli, and then I pour it onto the ground, and it flows from the ground into the mikvah, that's kosher midaraisa, according to Rashi. Why? What's the svara? What's the bir hadavar? Because when there's hamshacha, when it goes across the ground, so it's as if it's part of the ground again. So it's as if it loses its status of shuvin. It's as if it's part of the ground. So when it goes to the mikvah, it doesn't have the status anymore. That's Rashi. Afilu kol mikvah mimayim shuvin derech hamshacha kosher. Right. That is the shitas Rashi. If I already have 40 sa'ah, and I then put in mayim shuvin to add up, that's what we do in our mikvahs today. In our mikvahs today, part of it again, mikvahs. I think I mentioned in the past mikvahs, erevin, a couple of areas of halacha that halacha lemaisa. You have to ask one of the baki in Shabbador. Right, we could talk about this during today's shiur, but nobody should make sure not to paskin anything from today's shiur. You got to read all the hechos mikvos and all the tshuvas of Moshe and all the tshuvas of all the gdolim about mikvos. It's a specialty that even if one learns mikvos, one has to do a lot of shimush with the bekiyin. But that's one of the processes which we'll talk about in a minute that's used in our modern mikvos. But one other point, and that is there is a machlokas rishonim. Does one have to drag? Also important lemaisa, make the water go through hamshacha. Does it have to go on karka haroui livloa or not? Does it have to be karka, ground that is absorbable, that theoretically it could absorb this water? That's what makes it considered part of the ground, and therefore it's new. Or, what about stone? What about a metal that's part of the ground? It's very important. Is that good enough for Hamshacha? So the Trumas Hadeshin quotes an opinion in Shuvin, in Reish Nurches, from the Mordechai, that it has to be Roy Levloa. V'kachaz v'mordechai, shesorach l'hamshach.
Now
That's what the Truman Sedeshin quotes from the Mordechai. But if you look at the Rambam does not quote this. The Rambam doesn't quote this requirement. So therefore, Machlokas Rishon, the Rambam says, Betocha Silon. You could do Hamshacha in a pipe. Well, that's not Roy Le. It's made out of Cheres, made out of... whatever the case is, they assume that the Rambam does not make any distinctions. Putting all this together, Hamshacha, if anybody wants a beautiful summary and basic ABCs of building a mikveh, Rabbi Jachter, in his second volume of Gray Matter, now there are three volumes of Gray Matter, in the second volume of Gray Matter, he has five articles related to mikvahos. Talks about like we said yesterday, Mayan versus a mikvah, the responsibility of a community to build mikvahos, maintaining a mikvah. But there he talks about the three processes that we use in a modern day mikvah in order to build it, because you're not going to get a whole, what do you do? What, you go into the mikvah, that's all rainwater? It's all rainwater in the mikvah. It doesn't smell like it. It smells like chlorine. It smells like others. It looks pretty clean. So we use three processes. Number one is hamshacha. We use this, and we have a little, we have the whole she'uvin, but we have the she'uvin go into the mikvah across an area that would be considered hamshacha, across the ground, so to speak. And therefore, all the water that goes in is no longer she'uvin. And this mikvah is already in the ground, so that's not a clay kibbel itself, number one. We also use hashaka, hashaka from the word neshika, which means kissing. There's a halach also, it doesn't come up here, where if you have a little bit of rainwater and you have a large kli of non-rainwater, as long as you kiss the waters together in the proper way, you have them connecting, then the whole thing gains the status of the rainwater. That's also a process that we use, hashaka. And we also use zuria. We also use zuria, which is a process of having a kosher mikvah, let's say, so to speak, with rainwater, and we overflow that mikvah, and the water then goes into a larger mikvah, and therefore never loses the status. That's called zuria. We plant, so to speak, the new rainwater. And he has an article about those processes, that we try to use them in our modern-day mikvahs. Again, but whenever mikvahs comes up, we could at least wet our feet a little bit into, no pun intended, in order to talk about this. It's a big discussion. What if the mikvah has 40 saw exactly? And then the Mishnah's mikvah saw, and then somebody goes into the mikvah, and then he comes out of the mikvah. So he's wet. So you obviously know there's less than 40 saw. What if he's still standing in the mikvah? Is that enough of a tziruf? Shnais and mikvahs talk about it. Okay, we'll talk more about mikvah at the end of today's shiur. Let's, continue now with our discussion. So again, the Braisa says, if I have a pipe, if I first put the pipe into the ground and then I hollowed out the pipe, so then that's fine. That's not called a pipe. It's like I made a hole in the ground, and that's kosher. That does not make the water mayim she'uvin. But if I first have the pipe, and then I put it into the ground, it does not lose its status of a kli, and therefore it parcels up for the mikvah. Who is that opinion? The Gemara says it doesn't seem to Rabbi Eliezer or the Rabbanan. Which Rabbi Eliezer are we talking about? So we're going to focus, the Rashbam says, the Gemara always picks one of the tzadim. We're going to focus on Rabbi Eliezer. Elam Rabbi Eliezer de bias. If we're talking about Rabbi Eliezer of bias, what's that? That's our case here, why this whole Gemara came up. Remember yesterday, we had in the Brisa up above, that if somebody sells a house, so the machteshes chakuka is included in it, but not the machteshes kavua. That's what the Tanakhama said. Rabbi Eliezer said, no, anything mechuba lekarka is like karka. And therefore, if you have a grinder, once you put it into the ground, it loses its status of a kli. And therefore, it becomes part of the ground, and it's sold with the house. So says the Gemara. So who was our opinion of this brisa? It can't be Rabbi Eliezer, because this brisa says that once it's a kli, even if it's attached then to the ground, it's still called a kli to create mayim she'uvin. And Rabbi Eliezer in our brisa says no, it does not retain the status. So the Gemara says elam Rabbi Eliezer debayis. If it's Rabbi Eliezer debayis, what's the problem? Maybe Rabbi Eliezer can fit into the brisa. Dil mahayinu taima, Rabbi Eliezer savar. Maybe the difference is you cannot compare selling a house and hilchos mikvos. Maybe by selling a house, mocher ba'ayin yafe mocher. Maybe a mocher sells ba'ayin yafe. And that's why it's included, even though it's really not called mechubar. It does retain the status of kli when it comes to mikvos. Rabbanan savri mocher ba'ayin ra mocher. And Rabbanan hold ba'ayin ra mocher. The Shram says that's quoted just derech agav, not because we really needed that. But either way, so we have a statement that says that our brisa cannot fit in to either shita. What do you mean? Why can't it fit in according to Rabbi Eliezer? You could just be mechalik between Ilchos Mikvos and Ilchos Mechira. So, ve'ela, number two. Rabbi Eliezer de kaveres dvorim. Maybe what the statement that the Tana made, that the Braisa does not fit into either Shita, is talking about the following Rebbe Eliezer. The Rebbe Eliezer of a beehive that is attached to the ground. Ditznan, as the Mishnah says, in Shvius. I said today we're going to have a foray into all those Mesechtas that we don't get to do in Dafyomi. So we have Mikvos, now we have Shvius. Ditznan, the Mishnah says, Kaveris Devorim, if somebody has a beehive attached to the ground, Rebbe Eliezer Ober, Harehika Karka. It is like karka. In terms of what? What does the statement mean? The Rashbam says in terms of kinyonim. We know that there are different kinyonim for metaltolin. Metaltolin can be nikneh b'mishicha, and karka can be nikneh b'kesef shtar and chazaka. Mishnei Misakas Kedushin, towards the end, second half of the first parak. You can't say the end because the first parak is 40 blot and it's on daf chavav, so it's not really the end. But says the Rabbi Eliezer, it's like karka for kinyan purposes and also for kinyan agav purposes. Agav, if you want to be maknim metaltolin agav karka, also is considered karka. And the kosvin alei prusbal. You also write a prusbal if the love has a beehive. The halacha is that a prusbal, hilal's takana, to help people collect their loans even after Shemitah, hilal's takana was only if the love has land. That's the only time prusbal went into effect. So this can be considered land. Why did Hillel, two aspects, why did Hillel require that the lover requires lands? What's the big deal? It's just make that halacha prusbal. We know prusbal is a way that it's as if Bezdin is collecting, and there's only an isser of a private person to collect his loans after Shemitah, lo yigos, but that does not apply to Bezdin. So Bezdin is collecting on my behalf. So why should that be limited to somebody who has land? By the way, what we always mention when this comes up is the thought of the Sefer HaChinuch, and also I heard from Rav Rosenzweig, and that is, prusbal is one of the tools of the rabbis that many unexperienced and maybe not used to the halachic process say, oh, look what the rabbis do. Whenever they want to get out of something, they make up a way, and you know, if you get out of it, oh, there's a law they don't want to hold of, you know, lending money, you're going to get rid of the loans, oh, make up a prusbal. Where they say, when there's a rabbinic will, there's a halachic way. Right? Terrible. Chas v'shalom. Sometimes there is a halachic way, and sometimes there's not a halachic way. There's no way to get out of Mamzeris, Rachman al-Islan, Nebizman azeh. Right? Rabbi Tarfon had a way in the times of the Mishnah. But sometimes there are no ways. But the Sefer HaChinuch, Rav Rosenzweig explains, that no, the point is that the Torah demands a very high standard of chesed. The Torah says, forgive your loan. Forgive my loan, I lent him $20 million. 20 million shekel, whatever the case is. That's a lot of money. I'm going to forgive my loan. The Torah says, when it comes to brothers, forgive your loan. It's family. Your family, every Jew's family, forgive the loan. That's the highest ideal of chesed. The problem is, Hillel looked around and saw that people weren't doing, because of this, the basic halacha of chesed, lending money. People stopped lending money because they didn't want to lose their loans. So you know what the rabbi said? The rabbi said, better for people to do the basic law of chesed, because in reality, we're not at the level where we could do the ideal level of chesed. So that's prusbal. Prusbal basically took it down back to the basic ideal of chesed. Lending money. People would be okay to lend money. Look, if somebody's on a level they don't need prusbal, fine. But that's how prusbal is not getting, it's not a loophole, but it's the getting to the root of what the Torah wanted. A. B, getting back to our question, why do you need land? So the Rashbam puts a machlokas between a Zayda and himself. Says the Rashbam, I think, on the Rashbam goes up over to the next Amun. The Rashbam says, why do you need karka? Fourth line on top, v'hanimili kishyesh lo karka lelove. Why? Didami ki'ilu yesh lomalve mashkon. If the Lova has land, it's as if that land is already mortgaged, leaned to the Malveh. The Malveh already has a connection to that land. It's already as if there's a collection that has been done. Malveh ala Mashkon, we know the Shemitah is not Meshamit. Says the Mashkon Moshach lo Yigos, Shekoma, and why do they do this? Why do they make them have land so it's as if there's a Mashkon? And therefore, we know the halach is Malveh ala Mashkon is not Meshamit. It's not really a Mashkon. Says the Rashbam, an important line, Shekoma sheyuchlu chachamim l'sakein k'dei shelo yunirin okre davar min haTorah hiskinu. If Chazal could be, they're uprooting a din, but if they could uproot a din in a way that doesn't really look like they're uprooting a din, they'll try to do that. So they'll make it appear as if there's a mashkon. There's a piece of land that's connected to the malveh. So they try to do that. They try to cover up their akira as much as possible to pattern it after a din that is in existence already. They're not right. According to this far, they're not really uprooting lumdus. Oh, right. The people who might not, well, we assume everybody has a little piece of land. You have a little, you don't have to give up your land. You live somewhere. you live somewhere, maybe you're renting, but you're right. Nechinami. It could be that the people who really need it. Well, that's a question of whether Schiris owns or not. It's a discussion in the. What? Karkana. Everybody, right? The Gemara says later on. Ein lecha, ein lecha, there's no Jew that doesn't have Dalat Amos in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, but anyway, that's the first Svara. Why does the Rashbam say that you, the Lova needs land? Because they want to make it into this kind of mashkon. Then he quotes, Kei nira tam be'enai, ume rebi zakeni zatzal shamati, I heard from my Zayda. Who's a Zayda? Rashi. You don't have to look, you don't have to quote, you know, he quotes it here, but we had it back on Rashi and Daf Chavzayin. Chavzayin Amin Aleph. Rashi quoted this. You can look back there. He quotes it here. Tahainu taima. Why? The stam lova ein regin lahavosa elam ken yishlo karka. People don't usually lend money unless people have some land, something, in order that they can have security. And therefore, it's lo shchiach for a halva to take place if the lova has no land, and Rabbanan were only misakin by a milsa de shchicha, not by a milsa de lo shchicha. That's Shitas Rashi, as quoted back on Daf Chav Zayin, when Rashi was still alive, and quoted here in Bava Basra, Daf Samach Vav, in the Rashbam. Rabbanan were only misakeh by Milsa de Shchicha. So those are the two deos, Rashbam and Rashi. Why is it that we have the Takana that Prusbo only applies when the Lova has Karka? Either way, so back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says that if somebody only has a beehive, that's good enough to be considered Karka. Kos v'nalei Prusbo. Viter, the Eina Mekabelas Tuma Bim Koma. And this beehive is considered part of the ground, and therefore it is not Mekabel Tuma. We know land, Karka is not Mekabel Tuma, Bim Koma in its spot. If you pick up the beehive and start moving it, so then it'll be Metaltalin. But the beehive in its spot is not Mekabel Tuma. The Rashbam says a Chiddush here, that even the honey inside the beehive is not Mekabel Tuma, because it's Batel to the beehive. That's what the Rashbam says, last skinny line. The Gamadvasha Besocha Eina Makabel Tuma. To Batel Agabi Kaveris. Tosas takes issue with that. Tosas says, I don't understand why you would say that. The honey is Ochel. Ochel is Makabel Tuma. This is honey, right? So he doesn't understand why the Rashbam says that. We're talking about the beehive. The beehive is not Makabel Tuma Bibkoma. That is a machlokas between Rashi, the Rashbam, and Tosas. Continuing. The Harode Mimena Beshabis Chayev Chatas. If somebody takes honey out of that beehive on Shabbos, it's an Isser D'oraisa. Chayiv Chatas. What malacha are you doing? What malacha are you doing? Kotzer. Kotzer. You are taking something from where it is, quote-unquote, growing. Wow. Is taking honey from a beehive like cutting a branch off a tree? So this is something that we'll have to talk about when we get up to the malach of Kotzer and the Hilchah Shabbos here. But just al regalachas to mention, there is a machlokas rishonim how to define the malach of Kotzer. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuv Zayin has a machlokas rishonim. The Gemara there says if you take a fish out of water, you're chayev. So this is daraisa on Shabbos. You take a fish out of water. To catch a fish in the water, that's sud. But to take a fish out of water, you're chayev. Why? Rashi says, what would you say? Netilas Neshama. You're killing the fish. That's Rashi. Says Rabbeinu Chananel, Shabbos Kuv Zayin, you're chayev mishum kotzer. Oker davar migidulo. Taking something out of the environment in which it grows, in which it gets nourished. Machlokas Rishonim. Give you another Machlokas Rishonim. The Gemara says, also, on Daf, where is the, also Kuv Zayin of the base. What happens if I stick my hand, Hoshit Yadai Lemei Behema, I stick my hand into the stomach of an animal and I separate the fetus from the mother. Separate the fetus from the mother? Again, the Gemara says Chayiv. Why you Chayiv? The Rashba and the Ritva say, Netilas Neshama, you just kill the fetus inside. Netilas Neshama, says the Meiri there, Oker Dover Migidulo. That's Kotzer. Kotzer? It's machlokas rishonim. The achronim expand upon this. What is the definition of kotzer? Kotzer, you rip off a branch of a tree. Fine, that's kotzer. But what's the definition of the malacha? Is it detaching something that is attached? That's one way to look at it. So then taking the fish out of water is not kotzer. Or is it oker davar migidulo? Taking something out of the area or the environment where it is growing and where it is getting nourished. So then taking a fish out of water and taking a fetus off of the mother. That's kotzer. You would say that's gozes, right? Taking something, right? That's cutting your nail, cutting hair. But first, that's kotzer. So interesting here too. If you take honey out of the beehive on Shabbos, the Tanakhama says it's considered taking something off of the ground, and therefore you're chayav chatas. The Chachamim omrim ainik karka, the ainik kozel laprizbal. Chacham say no, it's not like karka. It's considered metaltolin for kinyan. If ainik kozel laprizbal, it's not good enough to write a prizbal on. Umekabelos tumah bimkoma, and it is mekabel tumah. Because so what? It was a beehive, and once it's a beehive, it's considered metaltolin. And if you take the honey out, it's only an isidra banan. It's not an isidra raisa. So question mark. So the Gemara says, maybe this is the Rebbe Eliezer that is against our braisa of mikvos. Remember, our braisa of mikvos is machalik. If you have a pipe beforehand and you put it into the ground, it's still a problem of she'uvin. If you put it into the ground first and then you chisel it out, it's not a problem. But you see here, Rebbe Eliezer holds that if you put a kli in, you put the beehive into the ground, it loses its status of beehive. So too in the mikvos case, you should say it loses the status of a pipe. So the Gemara again says, no, there's no riot that the Brice is against Rebbe Eliezer. Hassam kim to Amar Rebbe Eliezer, Taimah. Maybe it's like Rebbe Eliezer explains the Taimah of Rebbe Eliezer. To Amar Rebbe Eliezer, because the Amora Rebbe Eliezer explains my Taimah of Rebbe Eliezer. What's the reason of Rebbe Eliezer? Right, what's the reason? This is Parsha. Eliezer Eved Avraham. Dechsiv. No, there's a special reason there by beehives. Why? Because of the story. Shaul makes a rule. Nobody's allowed to eat anything until we destroy our enemies. And what happened? He doesn't even realize that his son, in stealth, had gone out the night before. And he's the reason that they won. He's the reason that they put the enemy into chaos. And what happened? Yonasan wasn't there when he made this klala, and he took a little of the honey. He put his staff in his stick into the honey and ate a little bit. What does it mean? Ya'aros dvash, right? A forest of honey. Ya'aros dvash. So to compare, just like a forest. If you take from a forest trees, your chayav chatos. Av dvash or dimenu b'shabbos chayav chatos. So too by dvash. Even though a dvash is not really mechubar, you're going to be chayav on it like a yar. So again, special din. By the way, that's why Rav Yonasan Eibishitz's sefer is named Yaris Dvash. His name was Yehonasan. You have Rav Yonasan Eibishitz. That's his Musa sefer named Yaris Dvash. So says the Gemara. So no raya again that Rabbi Eliezer is against our brisa in mikvos. So third try. Ela Rabbi Eliezer de daf. Maybe it's a Rabbi Eliezer about daf. What do we have now? A Mishnah in Kalim. Baruch Hashem. Ditznan, the Mishnah says in Kalim. Longest Masechta, we should spend some time doing it. 30 prakim. Daf shel nachtomin shekavu bekosel. If there's a baker's board. What does that mean? A board that a baker puts into. They get Eli over here to help him put it into the wall, and then they put their challahs on it to draw to become cool. Or the Rashbam says, maybe it's like today, when the bakers put it in front of the window so we can look at it and see which challahs we want for Shabbos. Right? So, it's a type of daf. So again, it's a kli that you nail in, or you connect to the wall. The wall is mechubar lekarka. So again, Shekava Bakosel, Rebbe Elazar says, that is tahar, because it loses its status of a kli from beforehand. It becomes part of the wall. The Chachamim Matamim. And the Chamzei Tame, again, Mani, E. Rabbi Eliezer, if we want to say that our Bryson Mikvos is following Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, Afil Chakagol B'Saf Kavo, even if you first made it into a Kli and then you put it into the ground, it should lose its status, and there shouldn't be a problem with Mayim She'uvin, just like here, where once you put the board into the wall, it's like the wall. E. Rabbanan, if it's the Rabbanan's opinion, Afil Chakagol B'Saf Chakagol Nami. According to the Rabbanan, who say that the board always retains the status of a board, so too, the pipe, even if you chisel it out after it's in the ground, it should still be a problem of Mayim She'uvin. So we have a problem. Who is the author of this brisa? Who is the author? What type of board are we talking about here? Well, let's see the answer first. Le'olam Rebbe Eliezer. Oh, we're talking about Rebbe Eliezer's opinion. Really, the brisa earlier of Mikvos is Rebbe Eliezer, who's bechalik between chiseling before and after you put it into the ground. The shiny pshute kliyets the tumah derabanan. You know why here by the daf he's makel and he says the shame kli is lost? Because the whole context is a derabanan context. Tumas kliyets. If you have a board, a wooden board that's flat, that's not called a kli d'oraisa. Pshute kliyets. The rule is only tumah derabanan. So the whole context is Drabanan, to start off with. So the Drabanan loses its status beforehand. In the Mikvah's case, that's an issue of Daraisa. It's an issue of Daraisa, so that's why there's a difference between Daraisa and Drabanan. Tosfos here, it's important, Yedias, in Hilchas Tumentara. One side before Tosfos, the Rashbam. The Rashbam on the, towards the end of the second wide line. Mihu, lo ashkechon tumo lepshute kliyets afilu midrabanan. If you look in Hilchas Tumah, you look at Mishnayos in Taras, it seems like a pshute kliyets is never tame. It's a board. Doesn't have any rims on the side. It's always tar, even drabanan. So what must this be talking about, says the Rashbam? A board that's ra'ui lemedris, that's sometimes sat on. So that's tummy. We know by azav, azava, right? So that they could create tumas medris sitting on. So the Rashbam says it must be talking about ra'ui lemedris. Tosfos here does not like it, because Tosfos says mimanefshach. If you look in the sources, if you have a board, a wooden board that's fit to sit on, that's tummy d'oraisa. If it's not fit to sit on, it's not even tamei midrabanan. So mimanefshach, what's the Gemara talking about? The Gemara says we're talking about a wooden board that's tamei midrabanan. Says Tosfos, what's the mitzius? You never have the mitzius. Roy lemedrus is tamei daraisa. Not roy lemedrus is tamei tar even midrabanan. So Tosfos gives two answers. Again, this is yidiyah. We have to know. Tomorrow today's Mashiach is going to come. We're going to have to know. We have wooden boards hanging around their houses. Is that makabel tumah or not? Let's say I want to bring something over to the Kohens and I don't want to make it tamei, so I'm going to bring it over on the board. Right, so is that going to help or not? So Tosfos says, what's the Gemara talking about? Either you have to say, says Tosfos, that I argue, maybe I argue with the Rashbam, or you could say maybe even if it doesn't have, it's not Roy Lemedris, if it's usable for a person, if a person uses it, it's Mishamshi Adam, then already gives it to Mami Durabanan. Even though it's not a Kli, big chiddush in Tosfos. Even though it's not a kli, you have an example of something that's not a kli, but if people use it, so then it could have tumim under Rabbanan. That's the sixth or seventh wide line in Tosfos. Aval pishu pshute kliates, even though it's a flat wooden kli, makabel tumim under Rabbanan, kivat shehu mishamesh adam, the es mishamshe adam. Since it uses, it's mishamesh a person, and it's people use it, so that gives it already tumim under Rabbanan. Very important. Tosfos, yeah. Roy lemedras, real roy lemedras that people sit on and lie on, so that would be tumah daraisa. But this is not usually sat on. People use it to put their breads on it. That's not roy lemedras. Medras means sat on, laid on, something like that. A chair, a mattress, a couch. That's roy lemedras. But if it's not roy lemedras, like the Gemara says in Shabbos, a barrel, even if you could turn over the barrel and sit on it, that's not roy lemedras. If a zav sits on a barrel, it's not tamei tumazav, right? It's not medras azav, because that's not usually sat on. That's shitas Tosfos here. In the Babasa Sama, there's an important Ramban here. Also, it's machalik between does it serve a person or does it serve something that a person uses? Is it Mishamshi Adam or Mishamshi Adam? So again, that's a lot of lumdis with Tumivatara, but we're gonna move on here. So Gemara, what's the Gemara's answer? Our Brisa is fine. It could be Rabbi Elazar Shita. Earlier, it was a Mikvah's context, which is a Daraisa context. This is Tridikilates, which is a Durabana context. Ask the Gemara. This line gives much debate in the Rishonim. You know, let's skip. Tumah Vatara, Mikvahs, come on, let's move. No, that's for Shalom. Everything, that Yomi, everything is Torah. The Rishonim discussed this. Look at the Tosfos in here. Tosfos obviously thought it was important. Michlal, the Shi'iva, we say, oh, it's a short daf. What about Tosfos? Michlal, the Shi'iva, Daraisa. Says the Gemara, is this to tell me that the earlier context, we said it's a Daraisa context, is Mayim She'uvin Daraisa? V'akaimelon Darabanan, what are you talking about? Mayim She'uvin is a Psul Darabanan. So if they're comparable cases, he can't be Mechalik. What does that mean? That Mayim She'uvin is a Psul Darabanan. We'll talk about it in a second. Let's continue the question. First, the Ode, Ha'amar of Yosef Ben Chanina, Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanina says, B'daf Shamatechas Machlokes. Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanina says, the daf under discussion is not a wooden one, it's a metal one. And by a metal one, even a flat metal piece is Tamei Daraisa. So Mimanefshach, you can't give these two this answer to be mechalik between Daraisa and Rabbanan. Let's just finish the Gemara for a second. So the Gemara says, fine, go the other way. Liolam Rabbanani. Really, it's the Braisa by Mikvos is according to the Rabbanan. Remember, the Rabbanan who say by the baker board, the Rabbanan say it always retains its status as a board, and by the mikvah case, if it loses its status. Or if it was a kli, it retains a kli. If you only make it into a kli after it's attached, so then it never becomes a kli. So it's like the Rabbanan Shita. How do you put those together? V'shaini Shiva the Rabbanan, the other way. Mayim She'uvin is the Rabbanan context. In this case, of Daf Shematech is the Daraisa context. I hachi asked the Gemara, afidu chakakol l'basof kavonami. So why do you say in the mikvos case, if it's a derabanan context, why aren't you make of the whole way? Even if you have a ready-made pipe and then you put it into the ground, why don't you they say there it loses its status? The Gemara says no, you can't go that far. Shiny hasam diika toras kli ala betalush. There's different because it already was a kli when it was detached. It can't lose its status of kli. You could prevent it from getting the status of a kli, but you can't remove its status of kli. Period. Right? Sometimes it's harder to create something than to it's harder to remove the status of something than to prevent the status from coming in the first place.
Is it period. With kli or with the she'uvin, making it into mayim she'uvin?
Mayim she'uvin is only if it goes in a kli. They go together.
But it doesn't have to have base kibble.
Base kibble. A kli is defined as a base kibble. It has a base kibble, it has to be a kli. Pshutei kli mateches is a different kind of thing, because because it might even be considered kli even without that. But usually something flat is not called a kli because it doesn't have a base kibble. The issue of she'uvit is a major issue in the Rishonim. Tosfos here quotes it. Rashbam, the Rashbam here on the bottom of the previous Amud, and Rabbeinu Tam, right here in Tosfos, holds that what is the shita of she'uvin? That the ikar psul of she'uvin really is da'oraisa. If you have a mikvah with all mayim she'uvin, it is pasul mi da'oraisa. What does it mean, psul mi da'rabanan? That means if you already have an existing mikvah, and then you add too much she'uvin, that is a psul da'rabanan. And that's meduyak, says Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam in the Braisa. What does the Braisa say? The Braisa's case is, posel es ha-mikvah. Why does the Gemara keep talking about it? It's a Darabanan context. You already have a mikvah. Does it possible the mikvah? Does it not possible the mikvah? We're talking about you have an already existing mikvah. That's where the Psul of Shuvin is Darabanan. But Be'ikaron, says Rabbeinu Tam, says the Rashbam, it is Da'oraisa. That's what he says on the bottom of the beginning of Tosfos over there. The bottom of the previous Amud. Rashbam, Rabbeinu Tam, Afarshi, Dekulo Sha'ov Havi Da'oraisa. And they bring a Raya from Torah's Kohanim. Right, that is Shita Rashbam and Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. The brothers hold that the Ikar Psul Shuvin is Daraisa. It's only to possible existing mitzvah is Darabanan.
If that's the case, then you could answer for Rabbi Elazar and say that this is Daraisa Shuvin. And we're talking about...
No, but the language of that Braisa earlier seems like there's an already existing mikvah. Posel as a mikvah, and you know posel as a mikvah. That's why they say that. That's the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam. The Rambam... And the re right here later in Tosfos, no, the Rambam and the re both hold, all she'uvin is derabanan. Mida oraisa, an entire mikvah of she'uvin is kosher to tovelin. According to the re says right here, six skinny line, l'ri nira, dafilu kulo she'uv derabanan. Even the whole thing is derabanan. Either the medrash is an asmachta. Don't take it so literally. That is the shita of the Rambam, and that is the shita of the... Could be, the Shulchan Aruch is not 100% clear. The Ramah Paskins like the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam, in Ilchus Mikvos, Simin Reish Aleph, in Yerodea. But the Shulchan Aruch is not so clear. The Shach thinks, he quotes a couple of opinions, that he thinks the Shulchan Aruch, Kedarko Bakodesh, would hold like the Rambam, and the Reed that is only Durabana. That's the Rambam in the beginning of Ilchus Mikvos, Perak Dalid. Din Torah, Shekol Mayim Mechunasin Tovlin Bahen. Midaraisa, any gathered water, you're allowed to jump into the mikveh. And shenemar mikveh mayim b'chol makom. Fushi, as long as that's 40 sa'ah. B'divrei sofrim, shahamayim ha-she'uvim psulim l'mikveh. Etc. So that is the psul of mayim she'uvim. It's all drabanan according to the Rambam.
If it's all drabanan, then why is the case limited to the one?
So he would say it's lav dafka limited.
Give a bigger case.
Right, they would say that's the case. They would have to say it's lav dafka. Don't take it so literally. Maybe posel as a mikvah could also mean that it possibles you're trying to make a mikvah. Could say that also. You could say it's talking about a case where there is no mikvah yet. It's possible you're trying to make a mikvah. You could say it's right. You would be able to. You would.
Only talking about where you don't have a mikvah yet. You
could say it's a bigger chiddush. Right, right.
You say it's. You can answer for Rabbi Elazar and say this is
deraisa. Okay. You'd be able to say that, but. This is why, by the way, that tap water, according to the poskim, we cannot use fill up our mikvah with tap water, because tap water, there's so many kalim that it went into from the reservoir to our sink. So that's why that's mayim she'uvin, and that's why you can't. We generally don't use. We can't use tap water for a mikvah. Okay, there's more here. Let's continue though a little bit more. Boy, Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef. So now we get into Machshirin. As we know, the Rashbam quotes the Mishnah in Machshirin here in Aleph, that in order for an item to become Tameh, a food, a fruit, or a grain, two things have to happen. Number one, it has to become wet with one of the seven liquids, Yad Shach Adam, Yayin Dvash, Shemen Chalav, Tal, Dam Mayim, right? Yadsha, the seven liquids. The Mishnah in Machshirin lists off the seven liquids. Perek Vav Mishnah Dalid. The lady lists off. So, a cucumber. If I take a cucumber out of the ground and I put a dead body on it, it is not Tameh. Why? It has to first become wet, and number two, I have to be happy that it became wet. It has to be l'ratzon. It cannot become wet while it's still attached, because everything gets rained on. It only once it's detached, it has to be hukshar l'kabal tumah. It has to become wet with one of the seven liquids, A, and B, I have to be happy about it. But the interesting halacha that we're going to talk about here is, if I'm happy about this liquid, even if I wasn't happy that the liquid went on this specific item, so then that's good enough to be considered l'ratzon. Meaning, let's say I have a bowl. The case is given. I have a bowl that I'm catching the rainwater in the bowl. So I want that water to be caught. And the water splashes from that bowl onto a fruit, even though I didn't want the fruit to get wet. I only wanted the water to go into the bowl, but I wanted this liquid. That's good enough to be machshel l'kabel tumah. Next. One more point of introduction to this statement. If I want the water to go in the bowl and then onto the fruit, that works. Because I wanted the water to go into a davar hamitaltel. If I want the water to water my grass, and then it goes onto the fruit, that's not good enough. Because it has to be l'ratzon onto a davar hametaltel, something movable. Ratzon onto the ground, that's not good enough. Here we go. Boy Rav Yosef. Make yishamim. Shechashav alayim lahadiach ez isterovlin. Getting back to our isterovlin from our Mishnah. Remember the isterovlin that was the bottom part of the grinder that was attached to the ground. So rainwater that I wanted to wash off my isterovlin. So I'm very happy that the rainwater washed off the isterovlin. Mahu lizra'in. So, what happens if it fell from this roblin onto my vegetables? So, that's the question. Is it mechuber or not? So, Aliba, the Rebbe Eliezer, according to Rebbe Eliezer, the Omar, call him mechuber l'karka, harik l'karka, Rebbe Eliezer says, once you, right, Rebbe Eliezer, by the house case, once you attach something to the ground, it now achieves the status of the ground, loti b'aylacha, there's no question according to him. Because for sure, it's no good. It's not mukshal l'kabel tumah, because this roblin is considered karka. What about according to the Rabbanan? Da'amri enuka karka mai teku. So we don't answer that question. We don't know if there would be a distinction between bias versus this case. Two general points related to mikvos.
What is the distinction? You could say the Rabbanan.
You could say enuka karka, or you might say it's a special din by houses that people include this in the selling of the houses, but really it is like karka. Meaning the Rabbanan, you might say it's a special din of mocher bayin, raw mocher. You don't exactly know from the bias case exactly whether they hold fundamentally, is it mechubur or is it talish? Because they might have a specific reason by bias. Just to end off with a couple of tshuvas of Rav Moshe related to mikvaos. Kabbalah, number one, he has a tshuva in Yaradeya, Beis Tzadik Aleph. Beis Tzadik Aleph, where he talks about there was a mikvah in a bad neighborhood. And they wanted to close the mikvah to be able to get them some money, and then rebuild the mikveh in the better neighborhood. So first of all, he says, in the bad neighborhood now, it was a very open area where everybody saw people going in, and it sounds like there were even windows in there. Rav Moshe says, terrible. Pashadu davar aser, if the people can see into the mikveh. Shari hi aruma b'makam shiodasha akam istaklimbo. People know that people are looking in. It's terrible, it's preetzus, and also she might not be totaled properly. Right, because she's scared. Even if only non-Jews are around there, still it's a problem. You have to be worried that the mikvah is, you have to be worried that she didn't tovel properly. Lachain vadai, this is 1964. You have to build the mikvah in a proper place. Shelo yiyachas v'shalom shum chash pritzus, v'lo yiyach shum chash boshes u'pachad mibnei adam. Fine. By the way, this tshuva is written to a certain Rav, who I saw basically all the tshuvas in Hilchas Mikvahs are written to the same person. This Rav Hananya Yantif Lipa Daitish Shlita Hanikra Hal Matzer Rebbe. Not sure who that is, but almost every day is like 15 tshuvas written all to the same Rav. So he says, number one, he says, you got to get rid of the mikvah. But then he says, number two, Chas v'shalom, that you close this mikvah before you build another one. Because you can't have even one night in a city that doesn't have a mikvah, says Rav Moshe. So don't think of closing it. He says, it's a kol shekein. We learned that earlier, Baal Basra, you can't close a shul down before you build the other shul, because maybe chash pshia, you might not build it. For mikvot, it's even greater. It's even greater. Upashut, shemasha rotzim, minali akhila, limkar mikodim, mikvah yishana, sheish bagam, shveitzbud, v'yachach, livnos hu aser, deich efshar, achsh lachshov kla, wahashil ir below mikvah meshach ezach hadashim, tiaplaila achas, aser lias below mikvah, v'chomer zetuva mi vezakneses, one second, shagam kenetzuch livnos vezakneses lachadashchila, v'kolshikin bizmanenu, this chash iser kares, shalo yamdu b'nisayon, they won't have standing in the nisayon of not going to the mikvah, v'chain take of a minyad, take of a minyad, to start building the mikvah. And then he quotes, what, it's just Nothing to do with us. Just the end. Sometimes Rav Moshe, the guy asks two questions. He throws it at the end of the tshuva. And by the way, your other question, there was another question that they had some type of way that in a shul, they had a pulley system where you could lower the aron and the bima down into the grounds and you could cover it up and do weddings there. So he says, so he was asked, is that a bizayon to let the aron and the bima go underground and then have a wedding there? So Rav Moshe says, for sure it's a bizayon. He says, first of all, the Chassam Sofer even talks about, we know there's a whole controversy whether you're allowed to have a wedding in a shul. A. Even if you want to be mekel in that shaila, he says, you can make, to move a sefer Torah, you have to have a tzarach. But to lower it to the ground, you're dancing on top of the aron, on top of the Torah, he says, it's terrible. Paj bizayon la'aron ha-kodesh la-sefer Torah, shasham la-salkam, avamokam achar ha-shaveh. For sure, to put it underneath. Uveprat, bavanasin arabim. Sometimes weddings get a little out of hand, and you're doing inappropriate things on top of the aron, says Rav Moshe. For sure, it should not be done. It has nothing to do with us, but is it the same tshuva? Rav Moshe also says, there's two other tshuvas. He says, in the previous tshuva, in Os Tzadik, the men and the women, lechatchila, should make sure that they have different mikvos. The women's mikvah, she tried to have a separate women mikvah for the women's mikvah because, says Rav Moshe, again, this is in 1970, Tafshin Lamed, that women would not want to go into a mikvah that they knew men were in. For hygiene, in terms of, he said you want to clean it properly beforehand, but still in general, it's a lack of tznius. He thinks that, you should have a separate mikvah. Uve Prat should be Detroit, Ika Ochde mikvos. B'shnei Bate Knessias, he says, you're asking me from Detroit. I guess the question, he wrote this whole to the Vod of Detroit about building mikvos. He says, you have plenty of mikvahs there, even though they're on the other side of town, so tell the men to go there. Even if they have to pay a little money to use somebody else's mikvah, they're not members.
Is that the same
shiloh
about the mikvah with the windows, Detroit?
I don't know. Oh, you have sources here. So you have roots.
If it is, he said, you can't close it until
you
build another one. But if it has other mikvahs, the question
right,
is,
if there are other mikvahs, then it wouldn't be a problem.
What is other mikvahs?
Right, good. L'chora, that's where Moshe writes in other tshuvas. At least he writes in the tshuva that we read, I think, about Muncie from the 1950s. We also read a tshuva a couple of weeks ago, that Moshe says, don't tell me there's a mikvah next door, and you don't want to give money to help build a mikvah. There's a mitzvah in the next town. Because it's got to be within a certain distance. You can use it for Friday night, but that's a chiv. And then just one final point that we'll finish. Moshe in Choshen Mishpat, in Aleph Samach Membeis, he has a tshuva about what comes first, building a mikvah or building a shul. Says Moshe, davar pashut be'enai, that you have to build a mikvah first. If you go into a place, the rabbi, mikvah is more important than a shul. And therefore, he says, be'nish l'ishto, menias peruvu, l'sheves, for sure. Va'avim yichon lisa l'makam rachok, she'isha mikvah, vaday be'ir, nimseis harbi nashim shlo yuchlo leilech. Maybe people won't go. U'b'shavas v'yantav yuasuros, and therefore they come to be monea peruvirivya, and therefore, what's the first collection should be for the mikvah? Even daven in somebody's house, build a mikvah first. That's what Rav Moshe says in Choshen Mishpat. Again, but a lot of the details of mikvahs obviously come up from here, but we will stop here. By the Shem, we will continue. So, again, today's shiur was sponsored by the Michelson family, L'zecha Nishmas, Rachel Tzipora Bas Mordechai. And again, my fault for forgetting to mention yesterday, the art site of Rav Meir Shapiro. Okay, good.